Welcome to the July 11th, 2010 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, The Truth About Truth. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so pleased that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. We want you to just take just a moment and to greet the neighbors around you. Just take a moment and say hello. Glad to see you this morning. Go. Okay, settle down, settle down. Good to see everybody this morning. Hope that everybody is excited and ready for worship. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that are the pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We ask members and guests alike if you would fill that out for us. Put your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us the contact information that you feel comfortable doing, and send that down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on the pew. And we do ask, once it gets to the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. Members, when it comes back by you, this is your chance to find out the name of a guest that's on your pew and make them feel welcome at the end of the service. Also, once it gets back to that first person, if you would please tear out the pages that were used this morning, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. It's an exciting day at College Park. Not only do we get to worship this Sunday morning, but this Sunday afternoon, our new renovation project of our preschool hall will begin. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, we're asking all able bodies to come and help us prepare the preschool hall to be renovated. And we've got to get all those classrooms emptied, and all the stuff will be taken care of, either by putting it in other parts of the church or possibly in the trash can. There's lots of things we're going to be doing in the preschool hall, and we need lots of help to make that happen. We are so excited that our renovation is finally happening, and the builders will be here tomorrow, bright and early, getting ready to start. We look forward to that. One note about that, many of you use this preschool hall to access the sanctuary and other parts of the building. That hallway will be closed for the next several weeks. So you may want to just take note of that. The stairwells should be open every Sunday so you can access all three floors, but that hallway will not be available for use while we're renovating. So just make note of that. Let's see. Just got back from Mountain Outreach. Had an amazing week. Thank you to all that were able to go, to able to provide snacks and food and prayer and money. There will be more to come about that, but we want to say just a special thank you for another great week of Mountain Outreach. Today we are having children's celebration. That's during the second hymn, which is hymn number 54, Great is Thy Faithfulness. All of our children will follow the 11th and 12th graders and me out this door into Smith Hall, and we will stay there until the end of the service where parents, you can pick your children up. At the end of the service today, you're going to receive a handout from one of our youth. Some of you may know, hopefully all of you know, our youth are headed to New York City a week from today. We'll be working with a ministry called Street Life Ministries. They do work with homeless people, while also doing prayer stations throughout the city. And our youth will be helping them. We're going to be working a good deal with homeless in the city, and we're trying to collect items to make gift bags to give to them. On the handout that you'll receive today will be a list of those things. We didn't want to confuse it with Mountain Outreach because there were many things being collected for that, so we're giving that information to you. For those who are able to, we know that that's you may not be able to, and that's fine. We would ask for your prayers, most importantly. But any items that you can help collect that you'll see on that list, there will be boxes outside of Smith Hall all the way up until next Sunday at 3 o'clock when our team will be leaving. So if you're able to help with that, that would be great. You'll receive that handout at the end of the service. On the back side of that handout will be information about our community-wide VBS. We're calling it A Weekend at the Park. July 30th through August 1st. It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a little bit different way of doing VBS, but we are looking forward to it. That information is on the back side of that handout. So just so you're preparing, we've got a couple weeks to go before that. So we hope that you'll make plans to help with both of those things. Reminder, we are having our cookie contest this Wednesday. I believe it's at 6:30. Well, it's actually at 7. The Bible study will be at 6:30. Cookie contest at 7. I look forward to testing out the cookies. I'm putting my name in the hat to be a judge. Barbie, are you hearing me? Barbie. Miss Ruby, I want to be a judge. Okay, all right. Make sure we got that clear. Okay, other announcements you'll find listed in our upcoming events, opportunities for the week, several things that are happening going on. Children's camp is this week, Monday through Friday. The youth are doing several things, so it's summertime. Many things are happening. But the most important thing that we get to do is to worship. We're very excited that our guests are here this morning in worship. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand right where you are. I'll get you right after this, Big Raj. How about that? All right. If you're a guest this morning, just raise your hand. Our ushers are coming back down the aisles now. They will give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. Also, you'll find out a letter from our pastor and welcoming you to our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being here with us this morning. Big Rod, you have an announcement?
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Mission accomplished. That was the greatest house we've built yet. The neatest family we've had yet. And our people did a phenomenal job on the site. We were safe. We all got back home safely. Thank the Lord for that. And I just want to thank everybody who looked after me. They treated me like a king out there and helped me get around and finish it. The young people did a great job, and we're proud of them and what they do. And they are the reason we are up in Kentucky. The youth started our project out there. So we're thankful for that, and we'll have a celebration night. One Sunday night soon, and we'll announce that. Thank you again.
Okay, any other announcements? Anybody? Choir, you good? Don't they look good? Yeah, all right. It is time for us to worship. And because we have gathered in the name of Christ, because you and I say that we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, it doesn't matter how many days we've believed, if we've believed one or for several years, God has gathered us in this place to hear from us and for us to hear from Him. If we would just listen. Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Let us prepare to hear from God this morning.
Shout with joy to God, all the earth sing glory to His name. Psalm 47 says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. God has ascended amidst shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Let's pray. Our great and mighty God, eternal through the ages, ever-changing, ever-loving, Lord, we come in this place to worship you. And Lord, Scripture tells us to shout, and yet sometimes we can't be bothered to sing. And then, Lord, sometimes we walk in, and we're so overwhelmed that we can't sing. And so, Lord, I ask this morning, however we come this morning, speak to our hearts. Be present in this place. Help us to know you and to love you. Lord, help us to be able to sing to you this morning. And Lord, let us leave here changed because we've encountered you. Let us love all that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be seated. I like that hymn. We invite you to turn in your Bibles. If you did not bring a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. First, we're going to turn to John 14, 1 through 6. John 14, the Gospel of John. Once you get there at John 14, 1 to 6, put your thumb there. Hold that place. And then turn to Psalm 66. First reading in Psalm 66, then we turn to John 14 for our scripture reading this morning. Psalm 66, shout with joy to God all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing praise to Your name, Selah. Come and see what God has done, how awesome His works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him, Selah. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For You, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but You brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to Your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to You, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to You and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats, Selah. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me. And then to the Gospel. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be there with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Can we pray together? Father, in these short passages, we are reminded of Your great love for us. You loved us so much that You gave us the way back to You. We are reminded that when we look in the mirror, You made us in Your image. And to be honest, sometimes we don't feel like that. But You see us differently than we see ourselves, than we see each other. You see us for how we were made, what we were intended to do. But Father, in our sin, in our selfishness, in our pride, in our arrogance, in our own desire to be God of our lives, we have neglected You. We have sinned against You. And Father, that's why Jesus came. To make sure we understand that sin separated us from you. Those things in our life, those hidden secrets, are not hidden from you. Those things that we think we've held down deep inside, that no one else knows about, you do. And you want us to let them go. You are preparing a place for us. A place to be with you forever and ever and ever. And you have shown us the way. The way is you. The way is forgiveness. The way is repentance. If we would choose it. Help us this day to choose the way, the truth, and the life. We see evidence around our world of people who have chosen to reject your life and reject your ways. We've done it ourselves. Help us today to be honest. To be honest with ourselves, because you already know the truth about us. You have so much in store for us if we would just let go of our own desires, of our own wants. Help us, we pray, to look at your truth, to see it as absolute, and to live our life by it. In doing so, we change the world one life at a time. For your sake and your sake alone do we pray, in Jesus' name.
I need to test my voice a minute. I think it's changing. I think I'm maturing. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Good morning, Father. We thank you for this time that we can come together here, Lord. We just we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he means to us. We thank you for his mercy. We thank you for his grace. We thank you for his love. Lord, it's a love that we can't really understand. Not anything that we can do to change that love. He can't love us more and he can't love us less, Lord. He just loves us. I thank you for this church and what it means to each of us that are here. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with us now as we go into a building process, Lord, that changing, that we'll all be moving around. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll give us patience to see what that end result will look like. But we know, Lord, that you'll be with us as we walk this way and that you'll guide us and direct us. We thank you for this time that we can come together here this morning and just worship you and with our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we pray as we come today that we will be able to return a portion of that which you've so generously given us, and that it will go to glorify your name. We thank you for this and all that you've done for us. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
sovereign God, O matchless King, the saints adore, the angels sing, and fall before your throne of grace. To you belongs the highest praise. These sufferings, this passing tide, under your wings I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope, my victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son,
Ever since George Barna released his book, Frog in the Kettle, I've been a fan of his research and have followed it pretty closely because it gives us some indicators. You don't take things like that as gospel, but they're good indicators. And several years ago, I think it's been about 4 years ago now, he did a couple of surveys, and typically he does them on a regular basis, his Barna research group. And in this particular survey, this set of surveys, people were asked if they believe that there are moral absolutes that are unchanging or that moral truth is relative to the circumstance. By a 3-to-1 margin, adults said that truth is always relative to the person and their situation. Among teenagers, 83% said moral truth depends on the circumstances. And only 6% said moral truth is absolute. So it's a little bit frightening. And again, these results are a couple years old at least, and so I would suspect that things probably haven't gotten any better in terms of statistics. Maybe it's a little worse. And you sit and you go, wow, how did we get here? How did we get here? Well, if you look back, it's that frog in the kettle thing. It's a slow slide, if you will. It started way back. It was kind of cultivated with the 60s and 70s with the philosophy, if it feels good, do it. You know, everyone else is doing it. Why not me? There's no harm. You know, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else, it's okay. But our teens have expressed it with a one-word worldview. Whatever. Have you ever heard that? Whatever. Well, whatever in and of itself is not a bad word, but when it's used to express their total worldview, it's a little bit frightening. Again, it's that frog in the kettle thing. We're on a slow boil here, and you can't sense the subtle changes in the temperature. And Christians have increasingly been adopting spiritual views from Islam, from Wicca, from secular humanism, from Eastern religions. And because we're biblically illiterate, we just simply aren't alarmed or even aware of the fact that of our slide towards syncretism. And you say, well, what is syncretism? Syncretism is a belief system that blindly combines beliefs from many different faith perspectives. Let me give you an example. 44% of adults in America contend that, quote, the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon are all different expressions of the same spiritual truth. 38% of Americans reject that idea. Just 38%. Among Christian kids, this is not just teenagers in general, but among kids who profess to know Christ, 63% say that all religions pray to the same God. We are on a full gallop movement away from biblical theology in favor of culture-based theology, with the likes of Oprah and others leading the parade. But it's not just our celebrities that are kind of out there on this. It also comes from pulpits all around our country. And I would dare say possibly even from pulpits within our city. And Josh McDowell, in his book Beyond Belief to Conviction, restates a kind of a known and accepted psychological principle. And that is, at the foundation of our life, we find our core beliefs. These core beliefs shape our values, and then our values drive our actions. So our beliefs eventually become our behavior. What we believe becomes our behavior. Now, I think there are many reasons. There are many reasons why people reject faith in Christ. In our culture now, we know that we've seen the surveys, we know what the results say. One of the number one reasons that people who are not believers reject absolute truth and reject absolute truth as taught by Jesus Christ is because they know Christians. They say, well, you know, I know Christians. They apparently don't believe any differently than I do because they act exactly like I do. So if that is the case, why should I become a Christian? It won't change anything. They apparently don't believe a whole lot. So, you know, their actions reflect their beliefs just like our actions reflect our beliefs. So that's the argument. Our beliefs will eventually become our behavior, right? So that this is not a new issue. This is part of what Paul is addressing. Bible scholars often talk about the Colossian heresy. It was a belief system that combined the Bible with pagan philosophies. And the result of that was that Christ was no longer supreme. The system was a combination of Judaism and paganism, but it wore kind of a mask of Christianity. And it didn't deny Christ outright, but it did dethrone him. It gave Christ a place, but not the supreme place. So Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, is trying to kind of unfold all of this cosmic implications of Christ's absolute preeminence and direct us to trust in the sole sufficiency of Christ's saving work. That's what he's trying to accomplish in his letter to him. You know, and for us, the lesson we take away from this is we must begin living our lives in a way that reflects that we are complete. We are complete in Christ. And nothing else in the universe is outside the scope of his sovereignty. So let's read what Paul has to say to the Colossians. If you would take your Bible, we're going to be kind of jumping back and forth. Reading, following along, be reading kind of straight through with some commentary, and I invite you to take it. You may want to take a little pen or pencil or something. Be a few things to mark along the way as we go. Colossians, we'll begin in chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 1 of Colossians and be reading through several verses here this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. Let's pause there for just a moment. In verse 5 here, he's given us three sure marks of the believer. In verse 5, he gives us three sure marks of the believer. You have faith in Christ, love to all the saints, and hope of eternal life. He references it by saying the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. So three things that should mark our lives: faith in Christ, love for all the saints, and hope of eternal life. Okay? Then he continues in the second part of verse 5. And that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day that you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Paul is complimentary to the church. He's saying, you have these things. You have faith in love, faith in Christ, love to the saints, and hope of eternal life. Then he goes on to talk about the gospel and the grace, the gospel of grace, how it's spreading through all the world, and how you are exhibiting that. He's very complimentary of them. And then in verse 9, he kind of launches into a prayer. It's a prayer that encourages the Colossians to live a life that will cause people to want to know what the truth is that they profess to believe. Understand, the Apostle Paul is seeking to correct false teaching. Teaching that was spreading in the Colossian church. And here's how he does it. He starts out again, three things in your life. Understand that you need faith, hope, and love. Then he prays for them. He knows that if their lives are not powerful, then their influence on their culture will be minimal. Let me restate that in a positive sense. He knows that if their lives are powerful, then their influence on their culture will be maximum. And the same is true for us. We can learn from this prayer. Because truth is not working in our lives because we don't have our hope and our faith and our trust in the things that it should be in. Truth is not working because our lives are ineffective in our witness. For truth to work, I think Paul would tell us three things we need. First of all, for truth to work, I think we need to spend more time in God's Word. Can I get an amen? You know, most Christians, and this is not a guilt trip, so don't take it as such, okay? Just hear me for what I'm saying. Most Christians, by their own admission, spend only 10 minutes a day, if at all. 10 minutes in God's Word. And then we spend half our day making money and the other half of our day enjoying and repairing what it is that we bought with our money. All the while we're biblically illiterate. Look at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You know, circle the word fill there. Fill. Pray that God would fill you. You know, some of us are completely satisfied with just a little bit of knowledge. But what God wants from us is to be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's what He wants. But this isn't just simply knowledge that will help you win Trivial Pursuit Bible Edition. Okay? Understand, that's not what we're talking about here. I like Warren Wiersbe is a man that I enjoy reading his writings because they're very practical in terms of Christian living. And he put it this way in one of his books. He said, in my pastoral ministry, I have met people who have become intoxicated with studying the deeper truths of the Bible. Usually they've been given a book or introduced to some teacher's tapes. Before long, they get so smart they become dumb. The deeper truths they discover only detour them from practical Christian living. So instead of getting burning hearts of devotion to Christ, they get big heads and start creating problems in their homes and their churches. I think what he's saying is that knowledge for knowledge's sake can be dangerous. It leads to pride. But the knowledge that we gain is supposed to take us somewhere. Take us somewhere for God's glory. Gaining the knowledge. Because for truth to work, I think we also need to walk. To put feet on our knowledge. Look in verse 10. Beginning of verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. Now some translations, when you get that you may walk a life. Okay? Could go either way. Walk or live. The concept is that it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. God is not just concerned with your spiritual life. He's concerned with all of your life. See, we try to categorize it. We talk about our spiritual life and we talk about this aspect. God sees the whole, it's all spiritual to Him. Life is a gift from God. We need not segment it. You know, look at the word all in this verse, in verse 10. Is your goal to please God in all manners? I talk with people that say, well, I want to please God in my life stewardship life. You know, in my financial life. I want to please God in this part of my life. Well, see, what God wants is for you to please Him, to strive to please Him in all things. Don't divide it up. Completely submit. Give it all to Him and seek to please God in all things. For truth to work, thirdly, I think we need to work. Simply. Look in verse 10, the second part of verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit. I think that's kind of maybe the heartbeat of Mountain Outreach. That's been our effort, hasn't it, Roger? We want to do good work. We want to do good work because that's what Christ would want us to do. To give in His name, to work on His behalf, to be His hands and feet. And we never see it more beautiful in terms of the total church life than when you have senior adults all the way through children working on the same job site. When you have college students who are teaching younger youth new skills. When you see adults teaching children and youth new skills, working side by side, not for our glory, but for God's glory. Amen? Amen. And see, that is the beauty, one of the beauties of church. That is one of the beauties of this church, and we better not take that for granted. Because I dare say the majority of churches, you don't have children working side by side with senior adults because they may not have children. We can't take that for granted. The work that we do side by side, the work that we'll do at 4 o'clock this afternoon, side by side, is a beautiful part of working together. It's not for our glory. It's for God's glory. It's for the accomplishments of His purposes and for His will. And when we do that, here's what it looks like. We're more patient. We're more kind. We don't work just for our own advancement, but we strive to do for others what we would want them to do for us. We're not as irritable. We don't return good for evil. We will use our discretionary time maximizing our contribution to others, not contributing to our fleeting comfort. More and more our lives will be lived for others, for God's glory, not ourselves. That's what it looks like. You know, you see, there is no better defense of truth in the world than a person whose hope in God is so strong that they gladly deny themselves in order to meet the needs of others for the glory of God. Amen? That's what it looks like. Paul says it this way, and this is a paraphrase, okay? I'm not praying for you to make $1 million to stockpile things that will rust and decay. I'm praying for you to prosper in your spiritual life. I'm praying that you will be the best example of what a believer in Christ should be. If we will do that, then we will be defenders of the truth. Then look in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Strengthened. That word refers to continuous empowerment. It's a journey that we travel. It's a process. It's a continual process of working out truth in our own lives and in the lives of other people. And then in verse 12, he begins to finish up this section, this prayer. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Let me back up one word just before verse 12. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus said, I am the way and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And lest we wonder about the nature of truth, Paul gives us a definitive explanation. He lays it out there. And I want you to close your Bible, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to hear what Paul says about the nature of truth, who truth is. Hear these words. Close your eyes and hear them. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. We'll pick up there next week. Let's pray together. All-powerful, mighty God, we know that You're on the throne. We know that Your Son reigns supreme. We know that we don't. But we confess sometimes we want to play that role. We categorize our life. We try to withhold parts of our life from You. But we know that in order for truth to spread, in order for the good news of Jesus Christ to spread, we need to know and understand your word. We need to live it out daily. We need to work side by side with our fellow believers so that others' lives can be touched with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts at those points where we want to take control, where we try to rationalize truth away for our own pleasure, for our own desires. Father, we pray that you would do a mighty work of healing and correction in our own hearts today, and that we would take it from this place so that you can be glorified in our lives. Father, we love you. Sometimes our actions don't show it, but we pray that you would help us fall more and more in love with you each day. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you may have a head knowledge of him, but you don't have a personal relationship with him. That's the most important decision you'll make in your life. And I want to challenge you. If we're going to stand and sing in just a moment, and if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can know Christ personally. If you don't want to come down here, call me this week. I'll be glad to meet you somewhere and talk with you about that. That's the most important decision that you'll ever make. If you're here this morning and you say, well, I am a Christian, but I'm kind of guilty of what you were talking about, kind of categorizing my life and withholding parts of it. And I want to completely surrender and see what God is going to do through me this week. This is your time. He knew you'd be here this morning, knew you would hear this message. You can certainly square things away with him wherever you are. But if you'd like for me to talk with you and pray with you, I'll be glad to do so as we stand and sing. If you're here and as you're visiting around, or maybe you've been a part of this fellowship for several weeks now, and you say, boy, I love these people. I feel the Spirit of God here, and I want to be part of the work that's what's happening here. There are many ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to share with you how you can become a member of College Park. Whatever your decision is, though, take this time seriously as we sing. Make this your time of commitment to God. Would you stand and sing with me now? Hear this spoken benediction from God's word. Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.